Welcome to the Unrest Podcast. I'm Madeline Green.
And I'm Caitlin Stansel. Go ahead, hit subscribe because you do not want to miss all of our real life haunts as soon as they post. Have you been in an antique shop lately? I had to say that slowly because it's kind of a tongue twister, but have you been in one lately?
Yes, we have a really cool one not too far from here. It's like a big antique mall.
Ooh.
And I love to go literally spend hours walking through and wishing I could buy all the antiques for my non-house
Same.
That I live in.
I went to one today and I was just thinking about how, like, in antique shops, there are some really cool things, you know, and you're like, oh, like, I love that this is vintagey and cool. But then there's like the kind of sketchy vintage stuff, like little dolls and things that I'm like, I don't even want to touch it and like
and something
be connected
follow you
to
home.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because every time I go to one of those places, I'm really going to find some sort of like vintage clothing. And every time I'll buy like this old military jacket or an old, just something old that I can wear that I'm never going to wear, but I just have it hanging in my closet. I've literally gone to the same antique shop and bought like 4 military jackets. And I don't even wear them, but I'm just kind of obsessed with it. So hopefully the soldiers haven't followed me home in the jackets.
Well, this one I went to also had this weird booth where they were taking so they had some jars that had little animals and like the liquids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what that's called, but so that was like a little creepy, but I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, you know, some people are into that. But then I like turned the corner and they had these, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a doll head on an octopus body and it had like blood coming out its head. And then there was this other one that was like a hand with an eyeball in it. Like it was all this really weird, creepy stuff. And I was like, okay, time to leave.
Yeah. Whoever owned that booth needs mental help, maybe.
I was just like, who is buying this or creating it? It's very interesting.
Definitely love antiques. Keep the history going. Why not use the forks that were used 15 million times?
By people's mouths so you don't know.
Do it. I believe in it. And I 100% stand by it. So this week's real life haunt is Jennifer. And she shares with us a little bit about her special abilities as a psychic medium. She has a great business called Metaphysical Roundtable, and she does a lot of work in the psychic realm. And she shares with us some really cool stories about some of her clients. So take a listen.
I used to have like really weird dreams when I was little. When my great-grandmother passed away, I woke up in the middle of the night because I thought she was at the foot of my bed. I don't know for sure if that's when she was transitioning, but I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought she was at the end of my bed. And then I just heard somebody tell me to go back to sleep. And so I did. I was, you know, a kid. And there was always things that I would dream about. I would dream about, like, I dreamed about my dad in a fire and how he was just throwing things out of our house. But I couldn't figure it out because it looked like our house, but it wasn't. Well, years later, in 1995, my grandparents' house burned to the ground. It was an old farmhouse, and they had renovated it in the 60s. But it was made out of yellow pine, you know, south. And it burned. And my dad lives, like, it's a farm community. My dad lives very close. And he was there with my grandparents. And he was just chucking things. They told me he was just chucking things out of the house. He and my grandfather. And they were just throwing things out before the roof collapsed. And I kept telling them that when I was a kid, and they were just like, no, just whatever. So I don't really know, but I was also kind of the troublemaker, you know, of my, with my, me and my brother and my cousins. I was the one that, you know, consistently got us into trouble for whatever, because I thought things would be a good idea. So I met a lady in the mid 90s, and I guess, yeah, it was like 94, 95. And she was like, well, you need to get a deck of cards. So I started like with my first deck of cards then. And it freaked my mom out because she thought I was like, I mean, again, her dad was a Baptist minister. So she was just like, okay, that's creepy. What are you doing? It's demonic. So I just hid it for a really long time. And then in 2002, I moved to Colorado, and I didn't know anybody out there. And I was there for probably 2 weeks, and I found a metaphysical conference and then a metaphysical store. And I started like taking classes and spending time there. And I'd already like, I'd taken a couple of classes here in Georgia and just not said anything about it. And, but in Colorado, I was a bit more free. And so I had this mentor that worked with for a long time. And she was like, you need to be reading for people. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And so she kept working with me and working with me. And then a couple of years later, she called me, and this is how old I am. She left a message on my answering machine, and she was like, hey, I signed you up for a psychic fair on Saturday. Make sure you show up with your cards and a covering for your table and crystals or whatever else you want on your table. Be there by 9. It starts at 10. Good luck. So I do like a lot of different things on my channel. And for my clients, I do all of it. Primarily do mediumship, but I start with their charts and their numerology, because it helps me tap into who they are, which helps me to connect with like their guides, who are mostly ancestors, really. And I gotta say, I'm a really lazy psychic. So we have a lot of guides around us all the time, but we connect with like the first one that comes. Usually it's the oldest one too. It's the oldest guide. It's the one that's been with us since we were born. And as we sort of grow and evolve, we open ourselves up to more guides. So I don't know how many people are aware of that, but we do have a lot of guides. And so it's just always fascinating for me to see, to be honest with you, this stuff used to scare the crap out of me. I mean, it really did for a long time. And I made a deal with my guides and angels. I was like, look, I only want to see like entities or guides or angels if they're attached to someone that I'm doing a reading for. Like, I don't want to walk down the street and see somebody that's like crossed over and just like a ghost. Like, that's, I don't want to see that. I'm an older mom, because I had my children in my 40s, and I was pregnant. And when you're pregnant, you can't shut anything off. Like, you are so out of control of everything, like what you eat, when you sleep, and you're really, really out of control of like shutting off like that extra sensory, you know, I mean, you can't. And that's, I think it starts with that mother's intuition. So you can't shut that off. And I started being able to see really well then. And before then, I was always just clairaudient. And I was fine with that. I was like, I can hear them. I don't need to see. I'm good. I don't need to see them. We're okay. You know, they can just stay on their side and just talk to me like they're on the phone. I'm okay with that, you know? And so then I started being able to see really well. And I thought, okay, it's going to go away after I have my son. And it did not. it amplified. And I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, I don't really care about that. One of my cousins loves to go on ghost tours and ghost hunts, but I'll go with her now because I can kind of like tune it out or shut it down. But this place that I used to work, there was like the offices were upstairs and the store was downstairs. And I came downstairs and I was talking to the receptionist and I was like, are those people going to come in? And she was like, I said, what are they waiting on? And she looked at me and she said, what people? And I saw like three or four people milling around outside on the porch. And I was like, you don't see anybody out there? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go sit in the office. I'm not coming back out. And so that's when I knew, like, it was right after I had my son. And I was like, that's when I knew it wasn't going away. It was just there then. And I have gone on a ghost tour with my cousin once. And it was really weird. It was in Savannah and I saw someone. And I whipped out my phone and I started recording because I thought, it's not going to show up. And I looked at my phone and there was a light like all over the phone. And I wasn't moving it. I was just holding it. And I asked the man, the person, ghost, whatever that was there. I was like, did you do that? And he said, why would I do something like that to you? And I was like, so if I take another video, will it do the same thing? And he goes, maybe, why don't you try it? So I did it again and Two Dot showed up and I was like, who's your friend? And then he started laughing. And so it's interesting to me that like ghosts, I don't like to refer to them as ghosts, spirits, I guess is a better way because they're not guides for someone I'm reading for. They just have a sense of humor or they just like to screw around with you a little bit. And I see that sometimes on like ghosts when they're doing hauntings and stuff. It kind of makes me laugh because it's scary, but it kind of makes me laugh because I'm like, I'm watching them screw around with those people. And some of them are angry. I'm not disputing that. I've seen that too. And that's where I won't even go into the building. I'm like, no, I'm good, you know. But when they're just playing and they're just like, I'm going to do this, watch. I did work with a lady that she loved to do like investigations, like haunting investigations and stuff. And I never have. And I went on investigations primarily just because she wanted to. It wasn't something I liked, but it was so exhausting. And I always had to have cookies afterwards, which is not good for my weight. I mean, but it helps ground me because it's so much energy and it's so much coming in. One of my clients, I've been reading for her. I still read for her. I've been reading for her for like 7 or 8 years. I just had my son when I met her and he's about to turn 9. And I wasn't pregnant with my second one yet. And I met her and I've been reading with her and I kept asking her like intermittently over the years, I would ask her, I'm like, what is this trauma? Like, what is this like scar that I see on you? And she's like, I don't know. You know, my dad was abusive and I'm like, it's not that. And just couldn't figure it out. Well, I started reading for her sister 2 years ago. Her sister goes, well, you know, it was just, she said, 9/11 is just always such a hard day for me because we thought she was dead for several hours until she was able to call us. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what was that? And she goes, oh yeah, she was in the Twin Towers. And I was like, hold on. So I called her. I don't call my clients, you know, I'm not gonna call them and bug them. And I called her and I was like, remember all those times over the past few years that I've been asking you what this trauma is, what this scar is on you? I said, you didn't tell me you were in the Twin Towers. And she said, you know, I didn't even think about it. She said, it was such an awful day. And I went, no shit. I said, it is imprinted on you. And I said, you've got to deal with that. And I said, I'm not trying to, be a therapist. And I said, but I said, because I'm taking counseling courses. And I said, I'm not trying to be your therapist, but you got to deal with this. I said, lady, I've been seeing this on you a long time. And I said, you didn't think to tell me at any point that this had happened to you. And she goes, it was such an awful, awful day. She goes, I was working in the building. And she said, I was dressed to the nines because the big wigs were supposed to be there that day. And she said, they started to evacuate us. And she said, we get back down to the lobby and they tell us to go back. And she said, I called my dad from my cell phone. And she said, I'm not close to my dad. And no, her dad called her. She said, I'm not close to my dad. And she said, he was yelling at me in the phone, telling me to get my ass out of there right then. And she said, I got up, I picked up my purse and started walking out. And she said, and about 40 other people in that floor started walking with me. And she said, by then the elevators were shut down. And she said, we were walking down the stairs. And I was like, I've been in that building. I had actually been there a year to the day before 9/11 hit. And I'm afraid of heights. So I wouldn't go over to the windows on Windows of the World, which was on the 107th floor of this 110-story building. But my mom and my aunt did. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna stay over here. And she was telling me where she was as she walked down like 40 floors and she lost her shoes. And somebody was making fun of her, saying, this people are dying, and this woman's out here searching for a shoe store. And they didn't know that she had been in the building and lost her shoes. Gosh. And she was new to New York. She had only been in New York 2 weeks. She didn't know her way around. She didn't know. And so she's just like lost and blind. And her mom did not hear from her for like 6 hours. And so she was petrified. She had a lot of near misses that day. But I was like, your guides were with you. And she goes, I knew where I was supposed to go. I just didn't know why I knew where to go. And I went, yeah, that was a reading that really, I mean, I sat and cried and cried and cried with her because you feel that energy, And I was just like, I wish you had told me this a long time ago. And she said, I didn't see that as my trauma because I lived. Now, that's a hard one, And then the other reading that came through was mine. I don't typically read cards for myself. And I don't really go to readers. There's a couple of people that I'll go to when I'm stuck and I need advice. Typically go to readers unless I'm curious about their stuff, their cards, And I'm like, ooh, what we got here,
Right.
It's just out of curiosity, And so I had gotten really sick and I was in bed and I had a fever and, I was just laying in bed and I could hear my kids playing in the background and I was just sort of in and out, like dozing. And my guides, who I had been largely ignoring, I don't know why I do that though. It's like a kid ignoring their parents, And I had been largely ignoring them and they came in and they were just like, so are you going to listen to us now? And I was like, what's the problem? And they started telling me all this stuff that was going on in my life that I didn't even know because I was like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And they were like, no, it's not. You need to pay attention. You need to do this. You need to do this. And I did a really quick about face. And that was hard. It was really hard. It was a lot harder than I expected it to be. But I did a really quick about face, and it was scary and it was hard. And but I think it's paying off. I think I did it the right way this time. And so that's one that I sort of go back in my head, you know, over and over. But so it's just, I've definitely had some interesting, readings where people, you know, they try to lie to you, or they try to like, trick the psychic, you know, test the psychic. I don't care. It's your money. What do you want me to do? Do you test doctors? Like, is this what you do? And because I'll just say, well, your guide says you're lying, so I don't know what to do here. If you don't want to admit to me what's going on, I'll just read the cards and ignore your guides. And people have, I didn't know people could do this either. They can fire their guides and send them away. They've done that to me a couple of times, and I'm like, you're kind of crippling me here. I don't know what to say to you. I can just be really technical and look at the cards and tell you what the cards say. But without your guides, I'm kind of crippled. And they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, you're going to have to go get right with your creator and bring them back, because I can't do that.
This whole story about this survivor from 9/11, I mean, that one really like hit me hard. That, and I think that you see that a lot with people that go through these really tragic, traumatic situations that have this so-called survivor's guilt. And it really does have an impact on people's lives.
And, you know, for the people that do survive, they feel like, you know, I don't have this trauma because I was one of the ones that survived, when really you have the trauma because you were one of the ones who survived. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just really neat to see. There are a lot of good things that can come from psychics and mediums, and, you know, helping people get through things that they don't really understand were even an issue, you know?
Yeah. Gosh. And I can just imagine how you're always thinking, like, what if I had just done one thing differently that day? Like, the outcome might have been totally different.
Right. I mean, I can remember on 9/11, so I went to a Christian school, and the seniors were in New York, and they were supposed to go to the World Trade Center that day, but something happened and they didn't end up going. And it was just like our whole school shut down and we had to go home. Needless to say, my brother left me there and my mom never came to pick me up. And that has left traumatic strain on my heart. But it was really crazy, because in that situation too, like, one thing could have changed and our whole senior class could have died there.
And there's so many stories like that, which, I mean, I have like a weird sort of, like how Madeline is obsessed with Titanic. Like, every 9/11, I get stuck watching all those documentaries about 9/11, and I like can't not watch them, even if I've already seen them. Because it happened when we were pretty young. Like, I think I was in sixth grade, and I didn't even know what the World Trade Center was at that time.
I had no idea either.
But to like live it not there, it's like you almost have to watch the documentaries to fully understand what happened. I don't know. I think that's one reason why I have this like sort of curiosity about it.
Great story. As always, we love for you guys to share your stories with us. If you have one that you would like to share with us on the Unrest Podcast, send us an email at theunrestpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, even on TikTok, where we like to post as well, and also find people who have fun, spooky stories. But until next time,
unrest in peace.